whether we decide.
All right, I'm going to call this order, our meeting to order. It's Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board, April 29th, 2026, 7 p.m. I am Jill Perkins.
Lori Houston.
Stephanie Blair.
And we're missing Lois and we're missing Kristen.
Oh, Lois.
I'm going to have Lori give the invocation and then we're going to roll right into doing the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everybody would like to stand, please.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so very grateful for the opportunity that we have to come together as a community. We're grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy. Please bless us that we can make good choices for our valley and listen with open minds and open hearts. I say these things in Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Where did they move our flag to now?
Our flag got covered.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you, everybody.
Hi, Vernon.
Hi, Vernon. All right, the first item is public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. In the case you are unable to stay for the item, no discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appear on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Is there anybody who has to skedaddle that wants to make comments on the items on this agenda this evening? Mm-hmm. Nope. Okay. Moving on. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for March 11th. Would anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for March 11th, 2026.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Okay, motion passes. Okay, next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda for the meeting for April 29th, which is this evening, to hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action. Would anybody like to make a motion?
I motion to approve the minutes for the meeting for April 29th, 2026.
As is?
As is.
As is. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Okay, the next item on the agenda is informational items, and we have Ms. Shea here. She is a representative from the Clark County Department of Environment and Sustainability, and she's going to share some information on the All in Clark County and introduce a related survey for rural communities. All in Clark County is a countywide effort to make our communities more sustainable, resilient in the face of climate change. Hi, Shea.
More of these for the audience.
I'll leave some too at the end as well as the surveys and then some goodies.
Okay,
so
perfect.
I'm Shay Kwasniewski. I'm with All in Clark County, which is a division of Department of Environment and Sustainability. This initiative was put into place in 2023, and so we've been hitting the ground hard trying to do that. We have about 8 to 10 ambassadors that go out into the communities. We do everything from outreach to trash cleanups. We do the free tree planting program. So we really try to engage with the community, see what's needed in those communities, and tailor what they need to those specific areas. We also focus on climate hazards in Clark County, which is obviously extreme heat, the drought situation, flooding, and wildfires, which have all significantly increased and is going to continue to increase over the next decade per projection. We like to balance resource efficiency, social well-being, and environmental stewardship while equitably meeting the needs of the community. We like to support residents, businesses, and visitors to be healthy, successful, and adapt to changing climate conditions. Our six main focus areas are clean and reliable energy, connected and equitable mobility, diverse and circular economy, sustainable water systems, resilient and healthy communities, and smart buildings and development. We try to bring local governments together, organizations, and communities to coordinate strategies to share resources for greater impact. The Regional Climate Collaborative, all five incorporated cities, signed two memorandum of agreement for regional coordination. 2026 Rural and Outlying Area Outreach is identification of issues of concern, which is why I'm here. Our big thing is the resilience and the heat mitigation, programs that promote community resiliency, particularly around heat mitigation. Stay Cool Clark County, which a lot of people have already heard, we are focusing on adding a lot more cooling centers where everybody's welcome, and we'll have kits, waters, hydration packets and so forth. That will be a heavy impact that we'll be doing this summer because it's projected that it's supposed to be really bad. Hopefully it's not. The big thing that we have is the tree canopy program, which we do twice a year, which is spring and fall. And we actually got them to sign on to the rural communities, which you guys would be included, where you guys get free trees. And that's any resident. The way we do this is if you pre-sign up, they usually will deliver. And if not, we do a day where we'll pick, and you can just come and pick up your trees or get additional trees based on what's left over. For anybody, and we can spread the word if you want. It's very short notice. Friday in Las Vegas, but on the east side, so you don't have to go too far into the city, we will be giving away free trees from 4:30 to 5:30. And that's anybody in Clark County. It's not specific to any area code or anything. So if someone happens to be over that way, or if you know anybody going into town, it will be at the Bob Price Center.
Bob Price?
Yeah. And I'll make sure to forward you guys a flyer so you have it. But anybody can come grab a free tree.
That's this Friday?
Yes. It's very short notice.
Okay. That's actually Kirkpatrick's Cinco de Mayo celebration.
That's where we'll be.
Okay.
We're going to be, so it's kind of tandem with that event. It's at the same place.
Yeah.
Will there be more events?
We have a ton of events.
You'll be giving away trees.
Yeah, it won't be till the fall because we're starting to wind down the summer. We don't do too many outdoor activities. But we do have it in the fall, and then sometimes even the commissioners will have their own tree program outside of even what we do. Cedar Bloom just had one last weekend, so we helped them out with that. So we partner with the Arbor Foundation, and so if they have some trees they're willing to give us, we can certainly try to set something up sooner. But also planting's an issue, so we want to make sure that those trees stay optimal. We do work with the herbalists. They'll come and they really do a great job. If people have questions or don't know where to plant it, they will stay in contact with whomever needs the help. I've been a part of it. They've been amazing.
Can we set up an event, like a community event here?
Absolutely.
In the fall?
Absolutely.
And then we can...
Yeah, and that's our whole focus, is we want to make sure we're hitting all these rural areas because they get often left out and they're still part of our county. So our main focus now that we've got a good fitting in the city, we're really trying to hit the rural communities to be more engaged. If they need trash pickup, whatever it is that they need, we want to be able to coordinate that with people and get it done for them.
Is there a list of what trees are available?
It depends on summer. I'll know tomorrow because I'm actually unloading them. Usually they're all drought tolerant. They are approved on the water districts. Their guidelines that they want you to have. So they're all drought tolerant trees. Usually they're fruit trees and shade trees. In the past we've had desert willow. We have the non-flowering and the flowering. We've had olive, pomegranate. I think we've got some peach trees coming in. We get a pretty good variety, and they're pretty hardy trees. So at the events,
it's not like a order, this is what's going to be here, you can come, or it's just what is
it's
there.
It's whatever is in season and that's going to be tolerant to our climate. Okay. So we generally try to get a good variety because we want people to be able to have fruit trees, and because then they're able to pick the fruit and eat them and stuff. So we try to really give them specific guidelines of what people want, and they generally will follow through. Mm-hmm. We get... each fall and spring, we probably get 7 to 10 different types of trees. So they're pretty good about, honoring our requests that way. They are free. They do donate them as part of the thing. So I don't think we've gotten a tree where we're like, ooh, that's not really, that you're just like, that's a really sad tree and that's not going to work well. So they usually will back it up. Or if they know there's a problem with the tree, I know that they've even replaced a couple for people.
Is it one per family?
It's a great program.
One per family, one per resident?
It's, when the sign-ups happen, it's two per family.
Okay.
When we're down to the wire, then it's one per family. Or not one, I should say one per person. So let's just say you have three people in your household. If you all three show up, you all get a tree.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. So all they do is just make your name, and then if you want to stay in contact, and then the people that are there, if you want to stay in contact with them, make sure that the tree's thriving. We have all that information there for you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we definitely want to get those programs out to the rural communities that want them.
Yes.
And also, if you have interest in it, off her topic a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
When the EDC comes to Vegas, mm-hmm. I know it's like everybody goes, oh, my God, no. But
which is next week.
When yes. it closes, after it closes within 2 days, they have live plants that they put everywhere at EDC. And the commissioner and her team go down and give away all of the plants that they had used. And they're all good, healthy plants. But the people that put it on, to them it's too much of a bother, so they just leave them. And so she started doing this thing where she goes down and they just give them away.
Perfect.
That's awesome. And that's even, I mean, something we can, yeah. It's probably too late this year, but even next year we can maybe coordinate with the towns here
yeah.
and maybe have it more organized and then people actually know about it
yeah.
and come in and pick them up. We can maybe get something together that way too.
Yeah.
That would be a suggestion.
And maybe, I know she always needs manpower for it.
We're
or woman power.
We're here. Let me tell you how many trees I've schlepped over the past couple of years?
Well, I'm going to be passing your name and your team along.
Yeah. Honestly, we're here. We have the staff to help and make sure they get delegated to the rural communities because they do often get overlooked. So that's why we're really trying to introduce ourselves into this, you know, rural communities. We also focus on alternative views. We also tailor to what the community needs. If they're not interested in EVs at the time, that's okay. That is part of our initiative. So I know EV chargers are a huge problem. We still have a huge problem in Las Vegas. We are working with a rural coalition here in Nevada to get more EV chargers, even for just pass-throughs, because there's nothing. So if that's a huge, you know, need here, that's something we can put on our agenda to get done ASAP and get that going. If there's a need for that here. Again, we tailor it to whatever the specific community needs. You guys might not care about that at this point in time, and that's fine. We can focus on the areas that you guys need.
We do some because we have tourism.
Yeah, and I know that's it's an issue.
I can tell you we do. We have a charger at our business down in Overton.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
We have people who stop by, and they're like, I have 4% left. Can I charge? You know, it's not public, but we let them charge. So,
And a plus side, there is where if we can get maybe even a free one to a business, and then it attracts customers to their business. So maybe get it, you know, in an area where if a business needs that.
Our business is primarily tourism, and mm-hmm. so a lot of our people drive out in Teslas, and they fail to tell them, hey, you're going to have to charge, and then they have no charge.
Gosh.
They do have them up at in Moapa now.
Yeah.
There's none at this end.
There's nothing.
So
the
when
sense
people
of
are
traveling.
At Valley of Fire, Lake Mead, you know.
So that's the
state
problem.
Helped us put the one in at AMPM mm-hmm. up yeah. on the boulevard. They helped finance that one and one up in Mesquite. And at that time, we got some. Will they, can the power company work with you guys? Are there grants or anything out there available?
There is certain grants where they will, like, I know Tesla even puts them in rural places, mm-hmm. so we really try to hit that hard. They kind of do it by a voting system, but they do it constantly.
Okay.
We recently teamed up with a gentleman who went all around the state of Nevada, in fact, and, like, marked which ones, because then you get to one and it's not working, especially in Nevada. Is a big problem. So we actually started collaborating with him to get some of these grants and fundings to be able to get some of these stations put in. The only issue that we're having is once they get put in, who's maintaining them? So that's what we're working out right now, because that's also a thing. It's like they put them in, it's free, which is great. But then when it's not working or something happens, who's fixing it? So that's a problem we saw on our side. So we're like, let's get that solved, because we can't just put an EV station and be like, well, if it goes out, it goes out. You know, so there's a lot of moving parts to that. But now that we're aware and I kind of was looking at this, and that's a problem. He went to there were several that were down in rural parts. And nobody's fixing them, and nobody knows who to call. So then now we're working on the educational part. Okay, who do we call? Who's going to fix them without costing the business and the town any money, because that defeats the purpose at that point. So we're pretty close to that. I know Tesla's pretty good. We want to make sure it's universal for anybody to use. Is also the other
and they're
issue.
Different.
Yeah.
Tesla and the other
Okay. So, I mean, I know a lot, majority, but we still need to make sure that everybody can access those. And again, our biggest thing is we want to make sure somebody's there to fix it when there is a problem, because it's going to happen regardless, you know, overuse, whatever the case is. We want to make sure that we have that resource available before we install one and be like, good luck. You know, that
exactly.
would, it just wouldn't, it defeats the purpose, especially if there's a problem.
Okay. Okay.
So we, again, we can definitely look at that for you guys.
Do you
as
have
well.
A person that deals with that, or you just talk
it's
to
our,
anybody?
It's our department, and then we work with the EB Coalition of Nevada.
Okay.
So we're tight knit, and we do a lot of EV drive events. So even if people in the town are curious about EVs, and we can even look at bringing it here or having a more centralized location where the dealerships and even personal vehicles, they literally will bring them to people, and no salesman is no. Even if you just want to see what they are and you just want to have fun and test drive one, that's what they're there for. It is a strictly no sales. Learn about EVs, ask the questions. They will tell you the pros and cons. There's no hidden agenda there. It's just to learn about them, and that helps really with people understanding and how they work, what's the cost, what's the pluses, what's the minuses. We just had an event at Allegiant Stadium, and it was huge, and it really opens people's eyes to what alternatives there is out there, even just a hybrid versus if they don't want to go straight electric. If they are in a rural community, there's other options out there. So we try to get that education out there. So we can even hold something, like I said, a lot more centralized where the communities can come and you don't have the pressure of salesmen. Even if people just want to ask questions, that's what it's there for. It's no sales, no, this is, you know, it's strictly informational only and test driving, the fun stuff. So again, if that's something that you guys are interested in, that we're the people for that, we can help get that facilitated.
Thank you.
So above that, we do the outreach and education. We do monthly webinars. We strictly do a webinar so that everybody can attend and watch them. We also record them while they're doing them. So if anybody wants to go back on topics, you can go back. We do a variety of information, and you can get on there. They're completely free. We do that, again, just to get that education out there. We do the outreach within the community. We'll help the unhoused. We will do the trash pickups. And again, tailor it to whatever the community needs. So again, if trash isn't a problem here, then that would be silly. Some of the high schools like to partner up, like Indian Springs. The high schools really want to do the trash pickup, so we're going to coordinate that. We come, we bring all the supplies, the gloves, we get just as dirty as they do, and just kind of make it a better environment, because it gets overlooked, and with all the wind, you can clean it up, and then the next day it's going to come, but we can, start getting all that trash picked up so it's less of it around the community. So again, that's something we can facilitate on our end and have all the supplies. So we do this. There's obviously concerns with weather, the climate-related risk, environmental ships and the techniques for rural communities, because they are often forgot about when you have a big city, and then it's like everyone's just left to fend for themselves. So that's why we're trying to bridge that gap for everybody. And we also have the survey, which will be over there. And I really, really try to press this, because then that helps us gauge what the community is actually looking for, not just what we're guessing. It's all important, but in some communities, they need more things are more important at this time than maybe what we're doing in Las Vegas. So any of the residents, if they can take that survey, they will be entered in to win a $50 gift card. We have four of them. It is anonymous. However, if you do want to be entered in for the drawing, we just need an email. You don't need to provide a name or any of that. We just need a way to contact you. But that's important so that we can tailor whatever you guys need specifically and hear from the residents on what's important to them at this point in time. And again, we can always shift and we can always change and add, but we really want to get a feel from people that live in the community what's important to them, and we're just not guessing and not providing resources that people are like, oh, we don't really deal with that or don't need it at this time.
Is there an end date for the survey to be in?
No, we're leaving it for a couple months because we know everybody's busy. We're hoping to come back in the fall, or even if you guys have an event or something that maybe we can start being involved with the community so they get comfortable with us. So hopefully, whether that be a little bit sooner in the fall or get like an event together, it would be by that date. So I would say roughly late June, early July is probably when it will be closed off. And I think like Olivia will send a follow-up on that as well. So if anybody has any questions, they can obviously direct them all in. The website has all the information. They can also email us, contact us. That's what we're here for. And if there's any concerns about the area, that's what we're here for. Anything you guys need help with to facilitate, that's what we're here for. We've made those contacts, and now we can start implementing them in our outlying communities.
Perfect. I had one question.
Sure.
on the resilient and healthy community.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that you could help with health care, with getting rural health care with grants and such for us?
Yeah, and if our department specifically can't, because we're more of the environment, like when we do our grants and our incentives, it's more of the environmental side. We have somebody that can handle that within our jurisdiction there. So if that's a situation we need, absolutely, we can also get that over, connect with somebody in that department. I'm trying to think what department would handle that. I don't know off the top of my head, but we can definitely facilitate that. And even if we are the ones that come out and if you guys need supplies or anything in the time being, that's something that we can provide on our end because we have the capability to do that. So like I said, we have a good 8 to 10 staff that this is specifically what we do. We go to the communities, we do the outreach, we do the, we're hands-on. So we're always constantly, we don't have to be stuck in an office. So we can absolutely facilitate and help get whatever you guys need as well as getting maybe some, you know, established healthcare out here.
Fantastic.
All right.
Does anybody else on the board have any questions?
No? Awesome. All right. Thank you guys.
Hold on 1 second. I'll open it up. Is there anybody? Does anybody have any questions?
I'll be around, so if you guys think of anything, I'm here.
All right. Thank you, Shay. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to planning and zoning. We do not have any items on that. General business, we do not have any items on that. So now we are going to open it up to comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or votes may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. State your name, your address, and spell your last name, please, for our lovely secretary, Judy. And if we feel like we've gone over, we can extend additional time if needed, and that will be up to the board. So, is there anybody who would like to come up?
Here we go.
Thank you. My name is Nick Bowler. My address is 2120 Liston Avenue in Logandale, and B-O-W-L-E-R is the spelling of my last name. Appreciate being able to come here today to talk to the board. I've been a resident here for 46 years. Well, as long as I grew up here, I was born here, but I've been here for 46 years, living where I live now. And the reason I'm here is the street that I live on, Liston, ends with Mills and Pioneer, and that's the main highway out to the Logandale Trails. We were here several years ago. My neighbor Steve asking his wife, or here, my wife Bonnie. And we came talk to the board about the traffic and the dust and that was happening because of the attraction of the Logandale Trails. And the board at that time had a priority list of improvement on roads in the valley. And they had a 1 to 10 priority list. And at the time when we got through with our discussion, they had decided that we should be number one. And it was places that we went away feeling pretty good, that things had, were going to move forward. And actually, a project was designed to oil that road, and it didn't ever get funded or happen. And other roads then became flood controls, all of the different things that happened. Of course, since that time, there's been the trails has improved, and the corn maze has come. And we'd heard then that there was going to be an oiling of the road, and we were all ecstatic again. And then found out that this grant that BLM received to do that ended at Chris Angel's property, did not come into town where we live. So the problem still persists of all the dust and that it creates. The adrenaline tours has now come. They take 4 caravans back and forth every day, 7 days a week. And I have some things to show you a little bit of the situation to make you aware. Why we're here is we've been trying to do everything we could behind the scenes to with the county to find out what we can do and what could be done. I talked to Marilyn Kirkpatrick personally, and she told me that the main problem was the right-of-ways of Chris Angels and the Union Pacific Railroad, and that was the reason why the county couldn't do anything, at least at this point. So I contacted Union Pacific Railroad, Rip Jackson in Denver, who's over the whole southwest area concerning right-of-ways and improvements of right-of-ways. And I've talked to him several times on the phone, and he's even talked to the county, and he says he has absolutely no problem with improving any existing roadways around their right-of-ways. They do that all the time. So it wasn't the railroad that was really an obstacle. I don't know Chris Angel. I tried to find out a way maybe I could talk to him, and I was told that Clea Whitney knew him and had dealt with him, and so I contacted Clea, and she, I wrote an email explaining the whole situation of why I was asking his, what his input on improving this road, getting that road fixed, and I was told, she was told that that he had talked with the commissioners, or maybe just Marilyn, I don't know who, and had given his demands, and that they knew what they were, and the ball was in their court. And I'd heard through the grapevine that he wanted compensation for the right-of-way. Now, whether that's true or not, I do not know. But anyway, that was Chris Angel's. So that's where we are with his little bit of property, that this part that's not been improved. Anyway, so we're at that point. I've talked to William Covington, tried to call Marilyn several times. I can talk to William. I've gone through it all with him. I've talked to Judy for several times, too. And so here we are. And what I want, the reason I'm here, is I know all we have is a town board. We don't have a county commissioner or anything. But I hope that whatever influence you have with the county, and that we can kind of rally to do something about the situation that's still there. It's a beautiful road that goes, have all of you been on it?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful road all the way to the trails. But you notice where it ends, right there at the corner of Chris Angels, and then it comes all the way into where everybody lives, and that's where all the traffic and dust is. I have a little presentation. I know I've already gone 5 minutes already. But I just want to give
you my time. Keep going. Keep going.
I wanted to give you a little background of what we've been trying to do, and then why I'm talking to you folks, and then I want you to make you a little bit aware. And so I just wanted, it's not real long, but I'd like to show you.
That's fine.
Is that okay?
That's absolutely okay.
Give you a little presentation. And then if there's any questions you have, I'd like to.
Where is Larry? Here. My distance glasses.
Okay. We could probably give you hours of video. We try to capture a little bit of so you see the problem, and so that's what I want to show you first. Kind of show you where these right-of-ways that seem to be the obstacle are, and then I've even filmed a little drive from where the listing starts and the oil, and you know, they're not very long roads, but anyway, that's it. So this is from Steve Paskey's, in front of his house. These are the adrenaline tour people coming. You can see the dust that comes as they come around the corner. When they're going the other way, as soon as they hit the gravel, they rev the engine, spin the tires, and you know, I mean, they're on the road, they're off-roading. And you can kind of see this is what goes on four times a day by adrenaline. They come at 10:45, 12:30, 1:30, and at 4:30. They go for about 2.5 hours out and back. And it's not, you know, I know people have come and complained about the traffic and wanted to build a bridge over, the facilities there, this road is always going to be used. What we want is the county's approved, the Corn Maze approval, they've approved, you know, they've worked with BLM to do all this. Well, they got to take care of what they've created as a real, you know, I mean, look at this. This goes on. Now this, the wind's all blowing to the south. When there's no wind and the wind's blowing the other way, I live just right where that big pine tree is. And so they, you know, the dust goes all different directions. And when it's wintertime and the inversion layer, it goes over the whole Logandale. You know, it doesn't go anywhere.
So this is the first video, and you can just see it goes on and on and on. That the first row, well, where listed ends right there is you go where they're coming from. That's Mills, mm-hmm. and Mills goes up until the tracks, and then it becomes Pioneer. So that's why I've got Mills and Pioneer. Mills is just a very short street. Okay, so the next one is again. This time the wind's not blowing as much, and so you can see how it starts to just billow up and up. And let me see. And then when they water it, what makes it even more fun, when they were doing the corn maze and doing some improvements and hauling a bunch of dirt, they were watering that every day, a couple times a day.
And then you have to track
out. And then
they
track the mud onto the oil, and so when it dries, now the dust is all the way down this thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird. Now this is, just show you, it's not all adrenaline tours, even though it shows a little this. Now look at all these. The trails is probably one of the greatest attractions we have in our valley. I mean, the lakes disappeared, and so now it's the trails. And these are just caravans of campers, and, you know, anyway, you get the idea, right? All right. Did I go too far? This is the Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way. I just took these off the parcel maps. And so Liston is right here. Here's where we're coming down the oil road. And then you can see that this is where the road heads up Mills. And you can see we're on all railroad property. And it goes all the way up in front of Robert Smiley's place here. And as it turns the corner, that becomes where Chris Angel's property is located. So that's most all of that part of the road, which is 99% of all the dust, is on railroad property. It has nothing to do with Chris Angel. It's all railroad. This is the railroad property going south from Liston, which is on the west side of the tracks. That road, then, if you go across the tracks in the first crossing, it comes all the way down. And I think it ends where you turn into Scott Carson's place. But that road is, and a lot of that road is actually, you can see, is actually off railroad property. It's county property. But there is a right-of-way there. You can see that's from the parcel map, just jurisdiction, Wapa Valley right-of-way. This is even further south on that same way going south. Now here we get to, that's Chris Angel's property, and you can see where the road bends. And even the road isn't on his property for a lot of it. It's only, and the dark brown is where the oil, they were paving it. They hadn't paved it yet, but that's where that project starts, or stopped, the BLM project. And so you have these two little right-of-ways, that first section, just as you turn the corner, just after you pass Bob Smiley's, and then the next one is the last part of straightaway until you get to the BLM oil road. So those are the right-of-ways that we're talking about. So I guess, from what I've known, I mean, the railroad is 100% be willing to do it. So I've talked. I called the county road, and there's a fellow named Timothy Paparo. Do you know him at all?
Yeah.
He was the project manager of the first project engineer, the first time they were going to do all the oiling and do everything. And it was quite extensive. They were going to have to move some power lines. They were going to have to, irrigation companies have to do some things for the county to come in and improve all of that. And of course, then with the right-of-way thing, then it all got abandoned. But Tim knows everything about this whole deal and understands the deal. And of course, he even told me that the railroad was one of the main obstacles. Of course, Chris Angel came along later. I mean, he wasn't even in the picture at that time. This Tim, who's the county engineer, he's the guy that would design for the county to make them, you know, design the project so the county could come and do the oiling. He knows all about it. And Rook Jackson, the Union Pacific boss over right-of-ways and improvements, they've actually talked to each other. So the obstacle now becomes, will the county recognize this as something to do? And I asked him, I says, how does this get done? Well, they, you know,
his bosses have to go for it. And he told me the bosses above him and above him. I mean, he's all for this, but, and I said, what if a commissioner, if the commissioner wants it done, it gets done. And that's why I tried to talk to Marilyn, that, you know, she doesn't want to be bothered with some things. And I'm nobody.
Well, Mr. Bowler, I do know that she does listen to every single one of our board meetings.
But yeah, I know she does. And she's told me that, and when I talked to her, personally, when I did get a chance to talk to her, she told me that the obstacle was the right-of-ways. And that's why I went to work on finding out, well, what is
it? Right, you've done a lot of homework.
And so railroad is, but Chris Angel might be, but even in, I would say, oil everything but Chris Angel's right-of-way, and it would solve all of our problems, and he'd have to have
a dirt
road in front of his property.
Yeah, it
that would.
Would
be it, just do everything else. Anyway, so that's the situation. I'm gonna go one more thing, and then you can ask any questions, or maybe Steve wants to say something. There is one more area, this is where you turn off the main highway onto Liston, and you'll lose a bumper going over that little section. It's just the corner,
right
in front of the pirate landing.
I think that's something.
If you've ever driven it, you shake it out of your car. If nothing else, and I don't think they need a right of way or a permit or anything, the county could come and fix that. That would be step number one. And I thought I'd end on that, just a positive note.
We do have a way to report.
Yeah, potholes. And I can actually put that one
okay,
in.
Okay,
yes.
That's a pot anyway. So I thought, well, that would show that we're on our way.
Right.
And then what happens down the road, you know, we can go from there. Well, anyway, that's our presentation. I hope that the board can kind of.
I don't expect you to have a thumb drive, but Vernon, do you have a thumb drive?
This, I do.
Do you have one in your car?
No.
Let me go look and see. I might have one. I would like to have a visual.
Yeah. Are you able to email that to Judy if she was to give you her email address?
This PowerPoint?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's probably too big. You know, they with videos and stuff in it, they don't, the email's attachments.
Do you have Mimecast?
Huh?
Do you have Mimecast on your email?
I don't, but
we can send large
files. I can put it on a stick
that.
And give it to you to copy.
Okay,
that would be fantastic.
Okay.
If you've got a stick right now, I can give it to you.
Let me go see what I've got.
If you've got a computer stick, I can just drag it and put it on it. And all this is, well, the two videos I didn't show is just me and my car driving from Liston north to the Logandale Trails Road,
mm-hmm.
and then crossing the tracks
Vernon?
And going left.
You know stuff.
Now, the other question was, in the first project,
can I hook my computer?
I was told, and even
if
Tim told me,
cords,
that the railroad is demanding that the two crossings that are there now, there's one on the north and one just for the first one,
yeah.
and they said that the railroad was demanding that there only be one crossing. And Rip Jackson assured me that isn't true. He said, well, we have to, you know, we'll let you do, that's existing road, we'll let you do whatever you want to do.
Right.
He says, we would never put a demand that you have to. So when I heard that from the county, that was what they were requiring, and that's why they were having all this trouble to redesign the whole road. In the original project, they did combine it, just the first crossing, and then they had to create Pioneer Road on the other side of the tracks where it didn't exist.
Right.
There was a gap in between, and that became then the new. And I see people that come into, evidently that's on the GPSs, because people could be the big trailers in, even though there's a straight gravel road in front of them, they go up over the tracks and go through all these ruts on the other side, thinking that that's where the GPS wants to take them on Pioneer Road. So anyway.
Jill knows about GPS very well. They go through her farm all the time to get up to the sand hills.
Steve, did you want to say anything about anything with
Mr. Bowler, thank you so much for your presentation.
It was very thorough, and I appreciate your investigating and getting answers. And
so, my name is Steve Paskey, Paske. I live at 2190 Tank Road, and I was going to all the videos. And I guess the thing that, like you said, I'm not going to reiterate everything he was talking about, but I guess the thing I really wanted to point is that we don't want curbs and gutters, and we don't want all that other stuff. I mean, there's so many roads around here, and 90% of the roads around here are just paved roads out to the edge and stuff like that, and that's really all we're looking for. We're not looking for a big major highway like they put up there to the trails with the center lines and all the, you know,
just something to
stuff.
Rid the dirt
and stuff like that, because they do, like Nick said, when they come around, because I'm outside quite a bit, because that was actually in my garage. I'm out there in the garage,
right.
And I can guarantee you that probably at least 50% of those people, even though they've got a pilot car in front of them that guides them through there, as soon as they get to that gravel, they think that they're on the trails And I hate to say this, but I can probably say that the local people are probably the biggest offenders down there. And I say that with a grain of salt, but
right.
Those are the people that I see all the time. And it's not the older people, of course, it's the younger generation and stuff like that. So just ask you to please give us some consideration on it.
Absolutely.
And that's what we can ask for. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. Is there anybody else who would like to speak?
I have comments. Cindy Lee, Red Path, Markport. Same subject. I go up there all the time on my bicycle. I was just going to come in and talk about it today. I got a different aspect. I'm on the top of the hill, and the gravel up there is incredible. That's all over the road up there. I was actually going to talk to Judy about it, but since there was a meeting tonight, I thought I would come in and say, whose responsibility is that up there? I know they're up there cleaning the restrooms up there, but the gravel from everybody speeding through. I have several videos I was going to be turning into, whether they're locals or people who come. It is a 15 mile an hour speed limit up there. Nobody is doing 15 on those razors and those side-by-sides running up there. When I'm up there doing my bicycle, I get off my bike. They're discourteous. They do not get in the other lane. Maybe they think bicycles don't have any rights up there. Again, I'm up there at least twice a day. It's not just our two local ATV companies that we have in town, but they're all coming from Las Vegas. I have several here on the thing, on my videos, that are bringing their own, coming up there. And we've really got to tell them, obey speed limits, you know, or whatever we can do up there. Not only is it causing a problem down here, it's causing a problem up there when they get off that pavement. It's even going on that pavement. I can really get cruising on my bicycle. And I know I've taken my truck up there, and I kind of like to see how fast I get to go, because I know there ain't no cop. So that's just in me. Now, I live here. I try to be respectful, but we got everybody coming here from another, maybe Las Vegas, maybe they're renting these things from the seat where they're coming from. So how do we control even the dust or anything like that, boiling or anything like that? Well, if we do that down here, how are we going to control it up there?
Cindy, you're talking, Cindy.
I'm talking to everybody.
No, you're talking to the board.
I'm talking to the board. I'm talking to everybody. How are we going to control it? We all need to kind of make some kind of an effort.
I agree.
Again, the other thing I want to talk about is the night sky. For some odd reason, we got some big, huge lights up there now on Billy's property. Not only did he do that, he put big solar panels up on top of his, what do you call those things? The storage containers in about 25 footers, so there's all kinds of big solars up there. And he popped up about, maybe 5, 6, 8, 10 lights up there now.
But he's private property.
I understand that, but how do we understand what people can do up there? If it's private property and anybody can put up all kinds of bright lights, maybe Chris Angel's going to come and put up all kinds of bright lights. What are we going to do as a
community? It's Chris Angel's property. It's private property.
I understand that, too. Well, how do we go ahead and say, we all love our night sky up there. Have you guys gone up there at night? Have you seen these bright lights?
Uh-huh.
The other thing I would like to know is there anything that we can talk about, like if he has a different event other than his corn maze? He's doing weddings. How do we control anything like that? We understand it's private property. We get to do anything on our property.
And he has a special use permit.
And how do we get to know when he got a special use permit? We've come to county boards, and when is that permit for the corn maze coming against you guys again? When do we get permits? And
that would be something that you would probably want to research with the county.
I want to what?
You would probably want to pull his special use permit and read it with the county that's been issued.
Oh, you guys don't know when he had his permit issued?
He was issued it this year.
No, he was issued it this year.
This year?
They approved it.
They?
The county.
The county.
Did he come before the board?
Yes, he did.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, I've not had a problem with you.
And also he went in front
emails,
of the...
emails, you know, we don't get our emails, and maybe that's our lack of response from people, that nobody is getting any social media to even attend. So I'll get with, I guess it's Marilyn Kirkpatrick. Yeah, I guess I'll chase her again and see what we can do up at the trails. It's very nice. I can just say it's not a 15 mile that's happening up there. It seems to be a big kind of a race up there. So I can imagine it's going to take a lot. I know I've got a big problem. Everybody coming. Free for all, and it's not just up at the trails. I want to just say it's not just the trails. It's where everybody's racing around and just creating. So maybe we can work with someone.
maybe get some more participants.
Thank you, Cindy.
I appreciate it, Jill. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak in regards to anything? Comments by the general public? Nope.
The only last comment I would mention is that part that we're talking about in my presentation, we're talking like a quarter of a mile. I mean, right. It's not like miles and miles.
Yeah,
right.
It's not a long distance. It's just, you know.
No, I agree with you, Mr. Bowler. All right. Open it up to the board. Is there any comments or anything?
It's May 8th on Friday at the elementary school. That's all I know.
What is Friday?
May Day dance.
Oh, May Day. Okay. I do have a comment. Your representative on the Moapa Valley Fire District Protective District Board, I need to notify you that Chief Neal has retired. And we're working with Clark County to work through a transition. It was anticipated but not expected. And so a plan is not in place, and they are working with us to try and work things out. They will help staff out here, have an ambulance. Currently, their plan is, and the plan won't go into force until July 1st. They're working with the chiefs at each station. And as of July 1st, they will have, this is what it's going to look like. So we have a meeting mid-June, so by then I should know, and I will report it back to you.
Okay.
Wait, I have a question about that. So yes. We are still going to be our own fire district, correct?
We've always been our own fire district.
Well, I mean, we're not
going to be. But our administrative things were taken care of by Clark County. They handle the money, since it's public funds. And if our chiefs out here need help, they have a rural chief and Clark County Fire District chief to go to for help. And I've talked to him, and they're ready, willing, and able to help and do whatever. We want to get it back to what it was, and they don't want everybody to worry out here. So they're going to back us up currently to just help through the transition.
Is there a plan to hire another chief?
Yes.
For us? That was my question.
Yeah.
I have.
We have, but it hadn't even, nothing's been applied for, nothing. You know, we didn't have that kind of time to do anything to
put it in place. I've appreciated the difference in the service that my family has received since it has been more managed locally.
Mm-hmm.
The response times, the training, the amount of volunteers. Has been amazing. We've had to call the ambulance many, many times personally for our family, and the difference between before and in the last few years has been, it's vast. So I really hope that we retain the forward motion and the training and the volunteers that we have out here and perpetuate that as much as we can.
Okay. Steph, anything? I don't have anything either.
I just got one quick question. Just how we communicate, is there anything besides getting an email from Judy that we know about a town board meeting?
It's posted.
It's posted here.
We don't get out of our cars to come here.
Well, I'm sorry you don't get out of your car
to
come
does?
Here. It's posted. I know you have a computer, right?
Nope. I go to the library. Got my phone.
Okay, well, you go email. To the library. You have your phone.
But does it come
it is
email?
Posted online.
On what?
On Clark County's website, okay. Rural Town Boards. Click on whichever one you want to go to.
Perfect. I'll let everybody know.
Cool.
It's on action.
All right. Is there anybody else? Okay. Our next scheduled meeting is for May 13th, 2026. If anything should change in regards to that, Judy always posts it. It is 10 minutes to 8, and I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. While you were back there, Steve Paskey, mm-hmm. 2190 Tank Road.
Let me write the address down first. Well, never mind. I can take it off the tape.
Okay. And he just basically said, you know, that's a short thing. And we're not looking for curbs and gutters or anything. They're just looking
yeah.
for to
yeah.
seal the.
That's where she blew it, and that's why Nick made that comment.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the internal. And I was nice to her for my very last time today.
Right. Me too.
Right now I'm feeling like F you.
Like she does her
all right. Thank you. I just think it would be really nice
Mr. Bowler,
if I...
it was a pleasure meeting you.
Well,
it
you.
Was a fabulous presentation.
Well,
I appreciate you.
Just for your information too, you know, Jack Nelson, I run this radiation monitoring station here, or the, well, the community representatives. And I got contacted last week by Desert Research Institute, who does everything with it, and they wanted to put they got a grant to put a seismic monitor here in our valley.
Oh wow.
Yeah, isn't that cool? But Clark County won't give them
any place to put it
yet. They can't get the approval, and the grant runs out the 1st of September, so they've contacted me and Jack Nelson if we'd be willing to put this monitor on our property.
We have a farm too.
Okay. Anyway,
so
they, not only that,
it's a 5 foot square. They have to bury it 5 feet underground, and it has a kind of a little tower that they, it's all trans, so it transmits the data.
And where
and
yours, where this is the perfect location.
It's the perfect location for
yeah.
it. Just put it right next to it. And,
yeah,
and,
I agree.
But they can't
do
get the county.
Do you have anything written you can give me?
Well, I can find out. But they said that their money's going to run out the 1st of September.
That's why
they wanted to just find some place to just so they could start work on.
We're a little concerned because
but
we live
by the railroad tracks. And it, those sand cars
yeah.
would be. I says my house shakes every time, two times a week.
Yeah.
so I'm not sure they wanted earthquake monitor to ride my house. So they're going to come out next week and look at the two sites and decide. But anyway,
what
I don't know if there's
something.
What
sites were they looking
that,
at to do it?
Yeah. Huh?
They have two sites.
They have, well, no, well, they have my house and Jack Nelson's house.
Because
we said we'd give permission for it to put it there.
Right.
They couldn't get the county.
But you're right.
Seems,
it's right there. And both of
it's
you
just
are
a five
over there.
Year,
yeah, both of
it's all underground, and it's just would be
yeah.
right here.
But we were laughing. We said,